Hello, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Campbell. It's great to have you here. Thanks for joining us for this month's Newsworthy Clips article. Today is January 12th, and I have two friends here in the studio with me. First, let's say hi to Albert. Albert, how are you today?
Good, and it's so good to be here with you and with Linda and with Advanced.
That's right. And as Albert said, we also have Linda here. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Campbell. I'm always glad to be here on Advanced Radio and for today's topics.
Yeah, well, this is one of my favorite combinations, doing a show with the two of you. You know, it's always great to have you guys here. And we have an interesting article today, right? Today we're talking about drinking coffee and wine.
Yes.
And how this can be good for us. Do you, either of you enjoy drinking coffee or wine?
I do drink both, but in moderation.
That's a good thing. Yes, all things in moderation. Mm-hmm. What about you, Albert?
I used to work at Starbucks, and I really do enjoy a good cup of coffee.
Mm. So are you a coffee connoisseur?
No, I'm okay with like canned coffee, instant coffee, anything is fine.
Mm. What about you? Are you a coffee expert, Linda?
Not really, but I also did work in a coffee shop, mm-hmm. so I know a little bit about coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if you ask me what the best coffee is, I'd have to say Jamaican Blue Mountain coffee.
For those of you who don't know, Linda is from Jamaica. She was born in Jamaica. Yes. And it is very good coffee. You know, I didn't drink coffee for a very long time. Until recently. Because I just felt like it was just one of those things that everybody did and everybody had like that, you know, that thing where I'll have to have my morning coffee. And I was just like, I'm not going to get into that habit, you know?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say it was because of health reasons that you didn't think coffee was good for you.
Oh, no. I mean, honestly, I didn't like the flavor of coffee. So I'd always end up adding a lot of sugar.
Mm.
And I would be drinking sugar with, coffee with my sugar, you know?
Right.
So I'd be drinking a lot more sugar than coffee, so I just like, I don't want to do that. But, you know, I think having kids and not being able to get enough sleep.
Coffee comes in handy.
Coffee comes in handy. That's right. Okay, but, you know, there are some scientific studies that do show that coffee and wine and tea are actually good for you. And so the title of today's article is Drinking Coffee and Wine, Good for Microbes in the Gut, Scientists Say. Now, this is, again, kind of a title of an article, so sometimes there are words that are missing, right? Mm-hmm. If you're going to do it correctly in grammar, you're going to say drinking coffee and wine is good for microbes in the gut, but sometimes when you are writing the title of an article, you might leave out the verb is. What are microbes exactly?
Well, microbes are microorganisms. Mm-hmm. We can't see them, but they're small living things
right. That
you need a microscope to see.
Right. So earlier in the program, I mentioned bacteria and fungi and viruses, right? And these are living things, okay? And these are microbiotic little living things, single-celled organisms that live inside of us. Sometimes they can be good. Sometimes they can be bad. And as Linda said, you need a microscope to be able to see these things.
Right. And they tend to have a bad rap. They usually, because they can cause diseases.
Right.
But as we will read today, microbes can be beneficial. They actually are very beneficial.
Right. And in fact, we need good. Mm-hmm. We need good microbes. We need good bacteria, fungi, and viruses inside our bodies to maintain optimal health. So, how can we get more of these good microbes? Well, let's get into our article. Our article today is on page 22. So, if you have your magazine, you can open up to page 22 or join us on your mobile device. And we'll start on the left-hand column.
Drinking coffee and wine, good for microbes in the gut, scientists say. Scientists have some great news for those who love coffee, tea, and wine. Drinking any of these beverages is associated with a healthier and more diverse community of microbes living in the gut. The opposite is true for consuming sugary drinks and whole milk, as well as for eating a lot of carbohydrates and indulging in frequent snacks, researchers reported in the journal Science. In total, we found 60 dietary factors that influence diversity. Dr. Alexandra Jernikova, a researcher at the University of Groningen in the Netherlands and the first author of the study, said in a statement, "Your microbiome is the community of mostly beneficial bacteria, fungi, and viruses that live on and in your body. These microscopic organisms earn their keep by helping you process food and regulating your immune system. Experts believe that the makeup of a person's microbial community can also play a role in mood disorders, obesity, and other diseases, including irritable bowel syndrome. But the study of the microbiome is relatively new, and scientists are still working out exactly what a healthy microbiome looks like."
Okay, so do you enjoy drinking coffee, tea, or wine? You know, sometimes we hear things, we hear people tell us, you know, you shouldn't drink too much coffee, it's not good for you, you know, and right. Have you guys ever heard that before?
Oh, yeah, for, I think, most of my life, like coffee is seen as a vice, like, you shouldn't drink so much coffee, or coffee is addictive, you know, you shouldn't pick up that bad habit.
Right, yeah, and I mean, again, anything in excess is not good for you,
true.
Right?
Mm-hmm. But we are finding out more and more that coffee can be beneficial, like in this article. And for those listeners who were listening last month, we talked about caffeine being good for your workout. It can actually improve your workout.
That's right.
So, yeah, so it's good news for coffee lovers, or tea drinkers, anybody who loves caffeine.
Yeah, well, tea, there are a lot of health benefits from drinking tea. There are a lot of antioxidants inside of tea, and tea is really good for you. And wine, you know, I've heard a lot of great studies about wine as well. And, you mm-hmm. know, there are some wine extracts that are on the market, and people take them as supplements.
Oh.
And mm-hmm. they are supposed to help you with your overall health.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there are plenty of studies about coffee, tea, and wine. But again, you know, with a good amount.
Moderation,
you know,
yes.
Moderation. Yeah, you don't want to
exactly.
be, you know, addicted and excessive with this coffee, tea, and wine. But what does this article say about drinking coffee, tea, and wine?
Well, when you consume these beverages, it, you know, promotes a healthier and more diverse community of microbes in your gut. So I guess the diversity leads to a healthier gut.
Right. So the gut that we're talking about is your kind of your digestive tract, right? Your digestive
right.
system.
Right. We tend
intestines.
To think of our gut as our stomach.
Yeah.
But it's where, you know, your food goes to get broken down.
Right, yeah. So your intestines and different things like that. You know, we often talk about, you know, I'm following my gut, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's this feeling that's inside of you. But here this gut is actually the literal gut, right?
Right.
Your intestines. And drinking coffee, tea, and wine helps to promote not just a healthier community of microbes, but a more diverse community of microbes. So not only do we want to have healthy microbes or microorganisms inside of us, we also want to have a wide variety of
right.
them.
Diversity is good.
Diversity is very good. Okay. But the opposite is true. Now, the opposite meaning that it creates a less healthy environment and a less diverse community. So the opposite is true for consuming what?
Sugary drinks and whole milk.
Mm. As well as for eating a lot of carbohydrates and indulging in frequent snacks. What are carbohydrates exactly? We call them carbs sometimes.
Right. Those include bread.
Rice.
Rice, right?
Yeah.
Anything made of like wheat or flour?
Yeah, starchy foods, right? Mm. And carbohydrates are another form of sugar. You know, and oftentimes in the past, we often talked about, you know, fat, the fat content. You know, having too much fat is not good for you. But then a lot of people overlook the idea of the fact of sugar. But mm-hmm. lately, there's been a lot of studies about sugar and how sugar is actually really, really bad for your body.
Right.
And so too much sugar can actually cause a depletion of the good microbes in your body. And indulging in frequent snacks, which means just, you know, enjoying.
Yeah, allowing yourself to enjoy
right.
things that are not necessarily good for you. Usually it's associated with excess or things that are not necessities.
That's right. So indulging in frequent snacks, so eating a lot of snacks that are maybe not so good for you, can cause a lot of problems for your body, right? And we hear from Dr. Alexandra Zhernikova in this article. What does she say?
That she's found, or they have found, 60 dietary factors that influence diversity.
Right. So there are 60 different things that people can do in terms of their diet or what they eat to influence diversity. And again, we want to have a diverse community. We want to have different microbes in our body because the different bacteria and different fungi and viruses inside our body do different things.
And they help break down things.
Yeah, help break down different things. Mm-hmm. So it's important to have a diverse community inside of you. Okay.
And some of the what we mentioned, that I think it's common knowledge that, you know, sugary stuff, like snacks are not good for you. But here we're getting the scientific reasoning behind that, like why it's not good for you. And it's interesting that milk is on this list of things that, you know, will not aid in your microbe diversity of your micro community, because milk is something that's always been promoted as good for you, at least in the U.S.
Yeah.
Like milk, you drink up your milk, like you have to have a glass of milk every day.
Right.
So some things that we thought were good maybe are not so good. Some things we thought were bad are not so bad.
That's right. Yeah. And here we're specifically talking about whole milk. And so the idea of whole milk is just milk that, you know, is hasn't been filtered. The fat content and all that stuff is still in this whole milk. And the whole milk is I guess, not as good for you as we thought it might be. And, I mean, that makes sense because, I mean, technically milk is made for cows and we're not cows, right? So, but, you know, there are benefits to drinking milk. You know, there's calcium and things like that. But I think here specifically we are talking about whole milk.
Does this mean that I should just drink a latte, which is a combination of coffee and milk?
I don't know, Albert. Maybe. Okay. So getting back to our article on line 13, it says your microbiome is the community of mostly beneficial bacteria, fungi, and viruses that live on and in your body. Okay, now we have the word microbiome here, and these are just microorganisms present in the body or another environment. Okay. And usually when we think about bacteria, fungi, and viruses, they usually have a negative connotation, right?
Exactly.
Right, yeah. Like Linda mentioned in the beginning, like, I feel like there was this movement, it's like, oh, you got to use, like, antibacterial soap, sanitizer, you got to keep your kids in a bubble. But, you know, previously we mentioned on Advanced Radio is that, like, research has shown that children who grew up with pets, and you know how pets, they get outside, they get in the dirt, and they come back in, children end up having less chance of getting allergies.
Yes.
It's because they're introduced to, you know, the wild.
Yeah. So this is what I'm always talking to my wife about. She's so diligent about, when you get home, you have to wash your hands. And I'm just like, and if things fall on the floor, you should never eat it. I'm just like, why waste?
Well, you know, they're extremes, they're both sides, but the movement against all of these microorganisms, thinking that they're bad, right, there's been a shift now.
Right.
Recently, there was, I think, a law passed in the U.S. like against producing antibacterial soap, or they're not carrying that anymore because they've found out, like, using antibacterial stuff, it actually increases the chances for sickness because you don't get a chance to build up those antibodies against those microorganisms.
Right. Yeah.
So maybe you should share that with your wife.
I believe, like, to build on what Linda said, I read, like, some of the ingredients used in the antibacterial soap are not tested long-term, and they might cause other life-threatening illnesses. Or, you know.
Yeah. And the thing is, with antibacterial, I don't think it differentiates between good bacteria and bad bacteria, right? And we need to have a balance of that inside our bodies, right? You need to have the good bacteria. And we often talk about now probiotics. probiotics, right? So these are supplements that people take that have actually good bacteria, and you can take it, and it adds good bacteria in your body to balance out the bad bacteria. And you have to have a good balance in your body in order to stay healthy.
Right.
And it's the next sentence here is really interesting. It says, these microscopic organisms earn their keep by helping you process food and regulating your immune system. What does it mean to earn one's keep?
Well, that just means that you justify your either the reason why you're there mm-hmm. or why you should get a, like, for example, at your job. If you're earning your keep, then you're doing your job, you're earning your salary, right?
Yeah.
You deserve that salary. Or in maybe your place on a team, mm-hmm. right? In order for you to stay on that team, you need to earn your keep. You need to prove that you're beneficial to the team.
Right.
Otherwise, you might lose your spot.
Right, exactly. So the idea here is that these organisms, they're living inside you, right? So they're feeding off of your food and different things inside of you. And so in order for them to earn that right to live inside of you,
to
occupy that space, they should be doing something for you. And they do a lot. They help you to process your food. They help you to digest your food, which is very important. And they help you to regulate your immune system. And there have been studies that show if you have a balance, a good, healthy balance of good bacteria and bad bacteria, then you stay healthy. Now, experts believe that the makeup of a person's microbial community can also play a role in mood disorders, obesity, and other diseases, including irritable bowel syndrome. That's interesting. I never thought about that before, how someone's gut health could affect their mood.
Right, yeah. Totally.
Actually, going back to what you said earlier about feeling something in our gut, like what our gut tells us, last month, actually, in the newsworthy clips, we also talked about feeling emotions in your gut. So there's a reason why we feel emotions in our gut, because mm-hmm. of the microbes living there.
Mm-hmm.
They actually communicate with our brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when you feel an emotion, it somehow it's a reflection of what your microbes are going through.
That's right. So it's really interesting how if you take care of your gut, your digestive system, you're actually taking care of your overall health. And, you know, I've taken a few health classes and they've talked about that, how as long as you're taking care of your digestive system, you're going to be overall probably a lot healthier than if you weren't taking
mm-hmm.
care of your digestive
yeah,
system.
Yeah, it's very, very important.
It's like a ripple effect where, like, every little detail counts and affects a lot of things.
That's right. Yeah, okay, so the study of the microbiome is relatively new, and scientists are still working out exactly what a healthy biome looks like. Now, what did they do in this study, and how did they come up with this data? Well, let's take a look at this next section and learn some more.
After analyzing samples and comparing them with other data collected, the scientists found that consuming fruits, vegetables, and yogurt positively influenced microbial diversity in the gut. So did drinking tea, wine, coffee, and buttermilk. On the flip side, sugary sodas and savory snacks were associated with lower levels of diversity. So was having irritable bowel syndrome and smoking during pregnancy. Women tend to have more microbial diversity than men, and older people have greater microbial diversity than younger people, the researchers found. The study does not address exactly why certain foods and behaviors influence the mix of microbes that populate a person's gut. However, the researchers report that people who eat a lot of yogurt and buttermilk have higher levels of the bacteria that are used in the making of those foods in their guts. It is becoming more and more clear that the gut microbiome serves as a sort of fingerprint that captures all kinds of signals about host health, Zhernikova said.
All right, so how did they come up with this information? What did they do in this study?
Well, they analyzed a lot of samples and compared them with other data that they had collected.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how they found out that fruits, vegetables, and yogurt positively influence the microbial community
mm-hmm.
in our gut, the
yeah.
diversity of it.
Yeah, and that makes sense because, I mean, fruits and vegetables, these are things that are found in nature,
mm-hmm.
right? This is food and not food products. These are just food, and it would make sense that the bacteria feeds off of food.
Right.
Right.
It's reemphasizing what we should know already,
yes.
you know, that fresh fruits and vegetables and yogurt, they are good for us.
Right. And so did drinking tea, wine, coffee, and buttermilk, which is interesting. What is buttermilk exactly? Do you guys know?
Why don't you tell us, Campbell?
Well, buttermilk is actually milk that is made. It's kind of the liquid that's left over after they churn cream into butter.
Mm-hmm.
So when they churn cream into butter, there's some extra liquid left over, and that's called buttermilk.
And it tends to be creamy. I use buttermilk when I bake,
mm-hmm.
And it adds, yeah, it adds a certain flavor
yeah.
and a certain texture to the baking.
That's right. And it's sometimes a little bit more sour. And, I mean, buttermilk
right.
is kind of like an overall term for this kind of general idea of this milk that comes from, like, the processing of milk or cream into
mm-hmm.
other products.
Right. But when I hear buttermilk, it just sounds so delicious.
I know.
Like buttermilk biscuits.
Yes, buttermilk pancakes. All right. And this next section says, on the flip side, sugary sodas and savory snacks are associated with lower levels of diversity. First, let's talk about what are sugary sodas. So different things like
Coke,
Sprite, Pepsi.
I think all sodas are sugary. It's like by default.
Yes. And savory snacks, what are we talking about?
Salty, delicious.
Chips. Yeah.
Fries. Right? Okay. So basically, we're talking about processed foods here, right?
Mm.
So processed foods are not good for you. Surprise,
all that bad
surprise.
Stuff.
All the stuff we love to eat.
Oh, but it's been engineered for maximum tastiness.
Exactly. All right, so this term here, the flip side, is just means the opposite. On the opposite end, you know, in comparison, this stuff is not good for you, and it causes lower levels of diversity, and so is having irritable bowel syndrome and smoking during pregnancy. Don't do that. Do not smoke during pregnancy, FYI. Okay, now, who has more microbial diversity, women or men?
Women do.
Yes. So apparently, Linda,
it's not a competition.
Have more microbial diversity than the two of us.
It seems so.
That's right.
Well, then the two of us.
Yes, then the two of us. You and I,
put
Albert.
Together. Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know about put together.
Well, I mean, put together. I just meant
on average.
Know, yeah. But friends, I am older than you guys, so maybe I have more microbial diversity than.
Yeah, if you,
either of you
combine those factors. Yeah.
And you start drinking coffee.
Maybe. All right, but the study does not address exactly why certain foods and behaviors influence the mix of microbes that populate a person's gut. However, researchers report what?
They report that people who eat a lot of yogurt and buttermilk, they have higher levels of bacteria, and this bacteria will be used in the making of those foods in their guts.
And that makes sense, right? Because to make yogurt and buttermilk, you need bacteria. They're kind of fermented,
mm-hmm.
right? So they need that good bacteria to kind of cause that process for these things to be made.
And I feel like this line sounds like, it's like, oh, yeah, that's so obvious. But I feel like it's with certain foods, as we're discovering, like, even though you consume it, it doesn't really transfer into your body as is it is, or
right.
stays as good microbial.
Yes.
So these things, they have positive bacteria,
mm-hmm.
and then they stay in your gut, and they help you out.
That's right. But I need to warn everybody.
Okay.
there is a lot of yogurt on the market that is full of sugar.
Oh, right?
So, you know, you might be canceling out your efforts if you're. So make sure you're reading the food labels, right? Don't just say, oh, it's yogurt, it's good for me. If you're eating something, a yogurt that's super, super sweet, that's maybe canceling the efforts.
Right. And I actually find it difficult to find just not, which yogurt, unsweetened yogurt.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. I have a friend in Washington who opened up a frozen yogurt store, or froyo store, as we call it. And he says, like, oh, he has customers who are coming in and they replace their breakfast or lunch or lunch with frozen yogurt. And they're like, oh, it's frozen yogurt. It's healthy. It's great. Mm. And deep down inside, he's like, it's not actually. It's full of sugar. Even our, like, most tamed version has a lot of sugar in it.
Right. Because, I mean, honestly, unsweetened yogurt is kind of nasty.
It's bland.
No, if you add some fruits into it, fresh fruits, it will taste good.
Yeah. Really?
You know, or some natural sweeteners.
Okay, yes, and nuts. Yes,
yeah,
I've
you
had
can make it to granola.
Yes. Okay.
It's
but,
different taste. It's more adult.
Okay, guys, my point is just be careful.
Anything that tastes good probably
if you're eating
has
yogurt that's super, super sweet, that's not going to help
you're
you.
Not doing much good for yourself.
Yeah.
But you can always make your own yogurt.
Oh, what? It's true. You can.
You can.
You can. And we'll have to have a class on that from Linda one day.
Or she can sell it in the gift shop.
That's true. All right. So this last paragraph says, it is becoming more and more clear that the gut microbiome serves as the sort of fingerprint that captures all kinds of signals about host health. Now, the host is basically you or I. Mm-hmm. Now, we are the host for these microbes. Basically, if we have a good gut microbiome, then overall we should be healthy. So, coffee, tea, wine, buttermilk, unsweetened yogurt.
Moderation.
In moderation, all these things in moderation. These will help you to have a healthy microbiome and therefore have a healthier body. All right, friends, we hope that you found this article to be interesting and that you learned some stuff. I definitely learned a few things here today. Please join us again tomorrow. We have some more interesting things to talk about. But for now, it's time to say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.